This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. Start your own blog or website in minutes for the very low price of just $6.95 per month. Bluehost makes it super easy. One-click installation of your blog, your own .com domain name, and no worries about bandwidth. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. And by the Amazon Store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show. Hello, my dearies, and welcome back to another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. And we finally get to talk about the season's finale. And we've got a great panel today. We've got David Hantlos. Hey, David.
Hey, Father.
Also joining us, our resident Disney expert, Deborah.
Hello.
And also Lisa.
Hello.
Good morning, good afternoon. And it's been exactly a week since we saw the season's finale. And of course, the first question that I need to ask before any other question is first reactions. Lisa, what did you think of this episode?
Oh, gosh. I guess my first reaction was I really wish it had been 2 hours. I really would have liked that to have gone on longer. And disappointed that some of my predictions didn't come true. I'm really excited about others. And I don't know. Overall, I'm really looking forward to next season where evil gets magic to play with.
Deborah, your first reaction.
My first reaction was it is going way too fast. Like, no, no, no. She can't learn that she's, you know, part of this curse just yet. You know, this is way too quick. And then when the ending came, I was smirking like Regina, like, yes, finally, they're going to take care of that for me.
David, what did you think of the finale?
I think, yeah, parts of it were too quick, but, parts of it were too quick. But on the other hand, I didn't, the tension had been ratcheting up for like the last 3 months. So, okay, they all know each other are, and now I've got to wait 3 more months to see what's going to happen next.
My jaw was on the floor from the very first minute to the very last one. It was just unbelievable. It felt like a ride in Disneyland. It just went so fast. And yes, there were way too many apples in this. What's the name of that thing that Regina prepares?
The
turnover. Too many apples in the turnover. But I didn't mind because I was enjoying every single minute. There were so many answers to our questions, and the brilliant aspect of this finale was that every answer, every door that is closed opens a whole bunch of new doors. And I was like, wow. And there were a few moments where I was like, oh, come on, please give us the answer to this or that. And we didn't get it. But that made me even more excited for season two because now that we've seen the entire season, I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear how they are going to explain, all the unsolved mysteries. But overall, I thought it was a fantastic episode. Great acting. There were really, again, it was emotionally, it was a roller coaster. There was just so much brilliant acting and fantastic writing. Everything was great. Special effects. It was just, I was blown away. It was so much better than anything we've seen this season. The dragon. I was cheering us. Yes, we get a dragon. I get my dragon. And I was just bouncing up and down. And I have to say, I've only watched it once. I've been insanely busy this week. So I am already looking forward now that we're, a week after the finale and everybody on Twitter and on Facebook is complaining and whining. It's like, oh, what are we going to do a Sunday without Once Upon a Time? Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to sit and enjoy the finale just all over again. And I'm pretty sure that I'll enjoy it even more because it had time to sink in. And I was just so overwhelmed with everything that happened, and it went so fast that I think on second viewing, I'll probably see a lot more. And that will give us perhaps even more material to talk about in another episode of our podcast. Well, first reactions, that's over. Let's now dive into the story and just discuss every single detail.
these stories, the classics, there's a reason we all know them. They're a way for us to deal with our world. A world that doesn't always make sense. Believing in even the possibility of a happy ending is a very powerful thing.
Well, there you have it. This is from the pilot episode, and I'm still amazed that that little sound clip applies to almost every episode. And sometimes the world doesn't make sense. Sometimes this season didn't make sense. But if you continue to follow the story, the bits and pieces fall into place, and you see kind of the overall story arc and the main things that they wanted to tell in this first season. Now, as a reminder to refresh our memory, I've got a promo here. This was an extended promo for the finale, and it will just kind of evoke the sounds and part of the story of this this last episode of season one. Let's take a listen.
The Evil Queen sent a bunch of fairy tale characters here.
Let my wrath be unleashed.
An incredible tale of secrets and sacrifice.
You're the only one that can stop her.
Heartbreak and wonder.
I will always find you.
Now, an epic season finale.
The final battle will begin.
That will transform the town of Storybrooke. Forever.
Every story in this book actually happened.
Find us.
I should have believed you.
Let's take back the kingdom.
The ultimate battle.
There's no way out except my way.
Of good.
Break the curse.
Versus.
He dies. So do you.
Evil.
Let's get on with it. I love you, Henry.
Magic is coming.
ABC's Once Upon a Time, the season finale, Sunday at 8, 7 Central.
I think they did a fantastic job teasing us, and at the same time, I was still surprised. Watching these promos, I was literally going over every single detail, freeze framing everything, trying to second guess what would happen, and there were things right there in that promo, and now that I've seen the finale, it's like, oh, of course, but I didn't realize it before I saw the real thing. They really kept the most of the reveals a secret, and they did it very well. There was this interview just, I think it was 1 or 2 days before the finale, and it was broadcast live on some internet channel, some ABC internet channel, with the two main authors, the creators of the show. And I was fortunate to actually catch a tweet from someone alerting me that this was going live. And so I followed that, and it was a very interesting interview. I recorded part of it quickly on my audio recorder as a reference. And even there, they were answering people's questions from Facebook. And they were giving a lot of things away, and yet I still was very much blown away by the actual episode, and I think that's just a huge compliment, I think, for the writers, that they were able to keep so many things secret. I think that we knew less about the finale than we know about the iPod or iPhone 5. Usually, Apple lets more things leak out than the writers did for this episode. How are we going to tackle this? Because there's so much in this finale. Shall we just go through the events bit by bit and just kind of give our view on this?
I think so, because they over... sometimes it's hard to do one story, Brooke, versus the flashback, because these overlap pretty closely.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we see a recap, of course, of what happened just before the events of the finale. We see Henry eating the turnover, and he's rushed into the hospital. And that's kind of the drama where it feels like an episode of ER. It's emergency room. You've got the quick camera moves, and I was just waiting for the ER, the familiar ER personalities to walk in, but they don't. It's just same old Dr. Will, and he's like, I don't know what's happening to this kid. We checked, and there's no poison. There's nothing wrong. And Emma is like, well, perhaps it's magic, and she opens this bag. Henry's bag, and a couple of things fall out. And of course, you had to freeze frame it. And there is, of course, the Once Upon a Time storybook. There's also a candy bar, the famous Apollo bar from Lost.
From Lost. There is this, and a Marvel comic book.
Yeah. Did you see what issue it was?
Yes, it was. It was X-Men versus Avengers, or Avengers versus X-Men.
Absolutely. And actually, I learned from a review of the Avengers that this is actually a very recent comic book. So they're only now doing this kind of Avengers versus X-Men. And so it's actually two entities, two groups of people that are both supposed to be good. And yet they clash, they fight. I was wondering, is there a meaning to that? Are the writers trying to hint at something? You know, is everybody really
an agenda?
I guess the potential, the possible symbolism in there is that ultimately everybody is motivated by good, even though, of course, Mr. Gold and Regina, their definition of what is good is mostly what is good for them. Whereas the other party, let's say the X-Men or the Avengers on the other side, the good guys, they try to, their actions are motivated by the common good. It's what's good for Storybrooke. It's what's good for all the people. And so one group is acting out of kind of a selfish definition of what is good, and the other group is acting out of a selfless definition. And so you've got the grab of power on the one hand, and you've got a self-sacrifice on the other hand. So in that respect, yeah, it is kind of like Avengers versus X-Men. There's also this video game that he's been playing for a while. There's also a notebook. I guess it's just a school thing. And that's about it. So, and then the moment where we were all going, at least I was like, whoa, already? Is she touches the book and we see something of a glimmer, or there is something magical happening, and she knows it. She is like, this is it. Like, we see these flashes. It's almost like what some people describe when they die, you know, that their life flashes in front of them in the span of a second. That's kind of what we see. There's this very quick montage of all the most important elements of this first season, or what happened to Emma, but including, you know, what happened when she was still a baby. And we see her parents, we see Snow and Prince Charming, and she, it's like she wakes up. Now, did the story really explain why this happened when she touched the book? Because she's had this book all along.
And not only that, okay, if that's the case, she read the book. Remember, like the first or second episode, she read the book and tore the pages out and gave the book back to Henry?
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Indeed.
So why didn't that happen when she read the book first time?
Well, just I was going for, I mean, you want to go for that whole true love angle again, because I guess you have to be open and accepting of it, because we saw both with the Rumpelstiltskin character, you know, when he got, you know, when he got kissed by Belle, he was able to reject it because he wasn't didn't want to accept it. Or with Snow White and Prince Charming, when, you know, he kissed her when she was still kind of in her warrior kill mode,
mm-hmm.
She didn't, you know, she wasn't open and accepting. So she just, I think she just not just socked him one after that. So she, you know, since Emma wasn't open to this up until now, when she was just desperate for anything, it didn't kick in. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think actually that the reason that she gets this whole like wake up moment is because she admits the possibility that it's magic. And up until this moment, she's always refused it. She has played along with Henry, because she heard from Mr. Hopper that would be therapeutic for her son, but she never even admitted the remote possibility of this being true. And she was basically without options. Like, everything, there was no other explanation than magic. And that's when she picks up the book and she's like, maybe. And it's as if she opens the door of her heart and her mind, her soul a little bit, and that's when it hits her. And that triggers what happens next. So she's kind of like, she goes to Henry, sees that her son has died, kisses him, and you get that same shockwave that we saw in the pilot episode when Prince Charming kissed Snow. And it just wakes everybody up. It breaks the curse. It's the moment that true love breaks the curse. But the interesting thing here is that so it starts with faith and then love. So it's really interesting to see. And that generates hope. So you've got these three core virtues that are so familiar for anyone from a Christian background. It's faith, love, and hope. And the order in which things happen here is faith is first, and it's kind of like opening yourself up for the possibility of, you know, another explanation, let's say a more metaphysical dimension in the world. And once you do that, you're able to fully love, and that is generating hope for everyone because everybody starts to wake up. And I love the way in which they show how everyone in the village is kind of like standing still and it's like, oh, wait a minute. and it was crazy. I totally didn't see it coming at the beginning of this episode. And I think that we even speculated. Was it you, Lisa, who said that, you know, she will never believe? Or one of us said that, or perhaps it was me. She'll always stay skeptical. So, you know, every season will be just like the X-Files, where you've got Henry, who is basically...
Oh, that was me.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
So one is Scully and the other is, what's the other name of the
Mulder.
Mulder. Yeah. So.
You know what was fascinating? When I was a little disappointed that it kind of happened so fast. I guess I wanted to really revel in it because we've been looking forward to it all season, you know, and it just kind of happened. And of course, then she takes Regina into that closet and just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Slams around a little bit, which was kind of, you know, nice.
Yeah, I liked it too. I was smiling.
I was kind of hoping she'd beat her up a little bit more, actually. But.
However, what I thought was brilliant in this episode was Regina wasn't the stereotypical, you know, totally evil stepmother. Yeah. She was genuinely moved and distressed seeing Henry die. And she realized that she was to blame. This was not according to her plan. And it's as if she just suddenly realized that how dangerous the game was that she tried to play. And she just confesses there, you know, you were supposed to die, you know. As if that is going to appease Emma.
Let's tell the sheriff that I was trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, and Emma's kind of like, yeah, I know, but. You know?
But I didn't expect it. I always hoped for some kind of redemption of Regina and that she would somehow... And I think only Henry could bring this about. Only he could melt the icy heart of Regina. What did surprise me was that smirk at the end of the episode. It was like, no, come on, Regina. You were almost there. You were almost redeemed.
It lasted about 30 minutes. I felt
genuinely sorry for her. I was like, no, how could you? You know, I mean, you've had every chance to wake up from this evil and find redemption, and now you're falling back. And I guess it's just realistic because that's what ultimately happens to a lot of people. You know, sometimes they see the light and they fall back again.
Well, like you were saying earlier about awards, you know, wanting them to get nominated.
Yeah.
That to me, that you know, seeing Regina's redemption and then the smirk and back and forth, it just shows you the power of the actress that she was able to do all of this so subtly, you know, with her, you know, face and acting. It was just, I don't know, you were root all of a sudden you were kind of felt bad for Regina and you think, oh, that's not good. Mm-hmm. If she's not the bad guy, who's the bad guy? And then we find out who the new bad guy is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what do you think about Jefferson sneaking in there and causing trouble?
I was very surprised. I didn't expect him to go this dark. I always felt sorry for him in that one episode because after all, he lost his daughter and he's been confined to this house for forever. And then even before that, in Fairy Tale Land, he was already a prisoner. So I felt sorry. And he was double-crossed by Regina. And now he's double-crossed again in this episode. Basically, she doesn't fulfill her promise. And yet he goes dark. And I think it's it's his anger, it's his hatred for Regina that makes him, you know, turn evil as well.
Okay. You guys notice that Sidney Glass was down there in the asylum too?
No,
I missed that.
When Sebastian goes down to Spring Bell from the whatever that prison is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that
as he walks past the prison doors, one of them says S. Glass.
Oh, it did. I just didn't put it together, but I remember seeing that.
Wow.
So she'd already hidden him away.
Oh, that'd be nice for next season.
Now, was this prison actually the basement of the hospital? Did I see that correctly?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he went down while he was in the Jefferson in the hospital.
That's crazy. And that nurse, she is still in fairy tale mode. She has no idea what
hair.
It's Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
From what? Say again.
It's Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If you have watched the, 1972 that movie came out? So it's 1972 nurse-style hair.
Pretty much. Wow. It's just, it's not really a fairy tale movie at all, but between her and the Indian janitor, that is just completely there. So
the Indian janitor, was that a girl or was it a man? Because I totally
That's
missed that.
That's a man, because
well.
It's based off the same character in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. There's
really?
A big chief, is what they call him. And he's in the prison, or in the psychiatric ward with Jack Nicholson's character.
I had no idea. So this is a deliberate reference to that movie? I gotta watch that movie. And they did this with Lost all the time, where they would have books on a table and everybody would go read those books in order to find clues. I don't know. It's cool. But I was a bit surprised that nurse apparently doesn't really seem to be aware of what happens in Storybrooke in the real world. And it's kind of this almost a limbo situation, that prison there. And so he frees Belle, which, of course, we were all hoping for, that Emily DeRaven would return and tells her, just go see Rumpelstiltskin or Mr. Gold and tell him that Regina locked you up and that'll do the trick. And she's like, what? Mr. Who?
28 years sitting in a cell.
Hi, you can go now. What?
She seems to be completely clueless. Reminded her me again for, and I apologize to those of our listeners that have not watched Lost, but the role that she has in Lost, at one point she gets a kind of a state of utter confusion. She's almost crazy in the final few seasons of Lost, and here she was almost as clueless. She's like totally, she's dirty, her hair is all over the place, and she is totally like, what do I do? And why would she trust this Jefferson? What's in it for her? I don't know. She
let her out.
yeah,
could be it.
So it's just kind of like, hi, I know you've been in prison for decades, but here's a door and go here's the name of someone who can help you. Bye. What?
Yeah. Huh? Where am I going? And if she's been there the whole time, how does she know how to find him?
Yeah. Where?
She might have
does
just
she
asked,
even know where she is?
She might have asked around.
Mr. Gold shop, you know where he is?
Well, that's the next thing we see. We see Mr. Gold in his shop, and he's actually opening the container with the magic potion. And I was so excited that little plot element came back. It's the magic potion that he brewed from the hair of Snow and the hair of Prince Charming, and we saw that almost as looked like a DNA strand, and now it has turned into a liquid, which I don't think we saw that in that particular episode. So he finally bottled true love, and at that moment his true love walks in. It's Belle, and he turns around and he seems completely like dumbstruck.
he didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it's something that happens out of his control. He didn't see this coming and he didn't plan for it. And he normally always seems to be so much in control. And it's every time that he's confronted with love that it breaks his plan, or at least it seems to kind of completely turn his life upside down. And Belle says, I was told you would protect me. And he is like, yes, I will protect you. But you can already see that there's a new plan brewing. I expected that somehow this whole story with Belle would be more something that Regina would use as leverage. After all, she was the one that imprisoned Belle. So I was surprised. I expected something different. I thought that Belle would be kind of the leverage or some prize that Regina would use to destroy Rumpelstiltskin or have power over him. But in the end, of course, Belle is now going to be used by Mr. Gold. and it does trigger Gold's hatred for Regina even more.
And I was a little sad because, you know, I expected this big reunion between Belle and Gold. And he almost immediately went to, like you said, his wheels turning about the next thing. And you kind of miss that, the beauty of what made that episode so great.
Yeah.
Seeing him become vulnerable and realizing that he had feelings for her. And in this, he wouldn't even let himself go there. And so, this episode was too rushed. I wanted to really savor some of these moments.
You're right. If it had been 2 hours, they could have played this out a little bit more, and there could have been perhaps a gradual realization on the part of Mr. Gold or Rumpelstiltskin, and then he would turn. I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
I know. So, I just wanted to have that moment, you know, where they see each other and he, you know, realize it again and then go into the, oh, yeah, I got to get Regina now.
I had the same feeling with this whole fight between Emma and the dragon, which, of course, is where she found the love potion. It is like, This is over way too soon. I mean, this is such a big deal. She has just seen the light. She now believes, and 1 minute later, she's already in this big elevator. By the way, we finally get to see the inside of the library. I always hoped. I was like,
and why nobody's there? Shock, shock.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it was so funny because you kept saying there's got to be a reason for the library to be like that, and they keep showing it, and there now we know.
And it was closed to conceal this big elevator that goes to straight into story in fairy tale world. And symbolically, I think it's awesome that the library gives you the access to the fairy tale world, because that's what books do. You know, they connect us with this fantasy land. And I was just a bit surprised that the library wasn't more impressive. I mean, they walk in and there's this door, and they open the door and there's this magical elevator. It's like, wow, I wanted this to be more of a reveal. After all, this is the building that we've seen in every single episode. So, yeah. I don't know, a little bit more magic around it, more mystery around that library would have been better. But anyway, it just keeps the pace up. And I guess if the episode would have been 2 hours long, perhaps all of us would be complaining that it was so drawn out. Oh, they were just trying to make money. And, you know, they could have told this in 1 hour. You know, come on. We already knew that she was believing. And why all the long, drawn out scenes?
Although the dragon fight is kind of a metaphor if you think about it, because, you know, she spends a lot of time running around and, you know, running around this dragon trying to figure out how to fight it. And she... the first thing she does is drop the sword, and she's using a modern gun. That does absolutely no good. Once she's finally done and done with a gun and realized that doesn't work at all, she grabs the sword and then kills it. That's it. So at the last second, she grabs the sword and kills it.
It's, again, she's between the two worlds. She knows her gun. She's never carried a sword. So I would do the same. I was like, yeah, I know how to shoot a gun. But
I'd be better off with a mouse pad. I would have no idea what to do. Yeah.
It's also because it symbolizes that she's between those two, you know, modes of existence. She has not really totally embraced this new existence as the savior of Storybrooke or the world. And taking up the sword is literally the moment when she becomes a fairy tale character, because fairy tale heroes carry swords.
Yeah.
What did you all think of the dragon? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just trying to think. Well, it's all very Disney to me. I'm like, oh, hey, it's like Fantasmic. So everything.
Kind of an interesting thing with a glowy chest, though. Whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole thing with the dragon, it reminded me of, and I kind of alluded to this before we started recording, Hercules, the Disney cartoon Hercules, mm-hmm. when Hercules had to fight this dragon with the three-headed dragon or something like that, and he kept chopping off the heads, and then at some point the dragon swallows him, and he has to escape by basically cutting his way out. So I'm like, oh, she's gonna have to get eaten, and then get the potion that way, and it's gonna be messy, and and use the sword to escape.
I really like the idea that the dragon was the animal that kind of safeguarded the magic potion. So the dragons have always been these threshold figures in stories. If you look at the symbolic analysis of fairy tales and mythological stories, at various points in the story, the hero is always kind of blocked by what they call a gatekeeper. And in can I do a Star Wars reference?
Yes.
Okay. So, for instance, in The Phantom Menace, one of the gatekeepers is Darth Maul, and when they want to leave Tatooine with little Anakin, Darth Maul appears and he tries to block the hero, so they have to defeat him in order to move on. And in fairy tales, and it's oftentimes a kind of a demonic character. Of course, referring to the fact that the devil always tries to prevent you from progressing towards your ultimate goal and the fulfillment of your destiny. And so in fairy tales, the dragon is always the person that tries to block whatever is precious, whatever creates future. In the story of Sleeping Beauty, the dragon is guarding the castle, and literally there's this bridge that he's protecting, because the bridge is basically what connects the fate of the hero and the world that he wants to save and the place where this is supposed to happen, and that is of course the Sleeping Beauty in that tower, and the kiss, true love, is the only thing that can save the story, that can save the world. And this dragon, this demonic creature, is trying to prevent that from happening.
Can I just interject my bragging rights here?
Sure.
I am totally convinced now that Emma is Sleeping Beauty. I'm totally
really?
Convinced. Well, because she slayed Maleficent with the dragon, which is part of her story. But that's just my theory. I was like, yes, that's more evidence for me. Ha ha. So I am totally convinced that Emma is Sleeping Beauty.
Do you realize that if she is, then there is no way that we will see the Sleeping Beauty story in Fairy Tale Land in a flashback? Because, well, she was a baby.
Are you disappointed?
Well, yeah, I want to see that story. Bitch, by the way, if I can take a little break here and talk a little bit more about some speculation. Now that we've seen this entire season, do you think we will even get flashbacks in the next season?
Yes.
Oh, we have to.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody
there's so many stories they haven't covered.
I know.
They keep alluding and telling us they're going to. So, I think we definitely will.
Here's why I asked the question, because now everybody remembers. No one in Storybrooke is puzzled about where they come from, and we too have waken up to a world where there is magic and everybody has its memory intact. So is there a need for flashbacks? Could they tell? And again, I'm just speculating, but perhaps they could tell these fairy tales in this world, in the here and now. Because we don't know what will happen once the purple smoke clears, What will the world look like?
And when Snow wakes up from her death, and she says, "Now let's go get there. Let's take back the kingdom." We don't know how they took back the kingdom.
That's
I think they just gave Brainy a couple of stories to go after him.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. There might be material for it. But the flashbacks won't be as exciting anymore because everybody knows. I mean, they could just sit at the at a campfire and tell each other, you know, when I was a kid, I was Pinocchio. And remember when we did this and that.
We still don't know how much they know. I mean, it kind of left it open-ended. That yes, the curse has been broken and they all look like we still don't know who Dr. Whale is. And they keep promising something big. So what's going to happen now? They all know who they are, but they're still stuck in Maine. And
Pinocchio is... Pinocchio is still
away.
So did the curse make him whole again, or is he still wooden?
We don't know. We don't see that.
I know.
There are some interesting remarks in the chat room as well, which I want to mention here because there's some good stuff in there. Dragons in fairy tales always have a treasure. Think of the dragon in The Hobbit, for instance. And Inga says, you know, this dragon actually also has the biggest treasure of all is, of course, love. It is the strongest magic, so it is the most precious thing to guard. So I like that. And then her reasoning of why Emma could be Sleeping Beauty is that basically she has been sleeping for a long time, most of her life. She's been, you know, unaware of who she really was. And so her life up until the moment that she enters Storybrooke has been like one big sleep, one big dream. And now she wakes up to her true self, her true identity, which is basically she's the savior. Could be. I don't think that they really make it like obvious that she's Sleeping Beauty, but there are definitely some parallels there.
Ooh. In the chat room, somebody said, who is Henry's father? And I have a really interesting theory somebody told me, and we'll talk about that when you're ready to. But
sure. Up until now, what I hear all the time is that it's probably Balefire. Do you have another theory?
That's the theory, too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. I think it's likely.
I'm just a little confused about the time skip, about how old he'd be.
No, that's what Shelley says, too.
Well, because he jumps into the Green Vortex as a child. But when exactly did he end up in Storybrooke? Or did he even end up in Storybrooke? Perhaps he lives in a totally different part of the world. We don't know.
So what did y'all think about Emma running over to see August and opening the door and seeing him all wooden?
I was like, haha, I was right about that one too.
I thought it was a bit creepy.
Way to go for the empathy there.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
He's dying. I'm right.
But I was right. No. I think he's going to be made whole again is my prediction for him.
I do too, because I don't think they would have. Well, and so realistic. I don't think they'd bring the person in without really developing. They already got rid of the huntsman, who we got to see again. Yay. But they got rid of Jamie Dornan, so I think that they'll keep him around longer. Because, you know, people are really mad if they get rid of two of those guys, you know, so close together.
Plus,
he has good chemistry with Emma.
It's pretty expensive, though, if they would turn him into a CGI character who walks around in Storybrooke.
maybe in the next season, the first episode, Emma's back and the curse is reenacted, and she has a murder scene in Granny's bedroom or Granny's B&B.
I hope not.
Pinocchio. How did he die? I don't know.
And we haven't talked at all about what happened in the fairy tale world with Prince Charming. Finally got his episode.
Yes.
Everything's been in, you know, pretty much his world was only revolved around Snow. And now today, I mean, last week, we finally got to see him really take charge and take action. And I know that there was a lot of squealing going on online about seeing the Huntsman back and him stepping up and, you know, taking charge.
It was a cool scene. Cameo. It was a nice heroic scene. He saves Prince Charming but we discover that he is still tied to his promise, his vow that Regina could have his heart in exchange for the life of Snow. And then she still wants to kill her, so she's not really keeping her end of the bargain either. Don't give your heart to evil people. That should be pretty obvious.
Are you ready for another Star Wars joke that I saw today?
Sure, go ahead.
They compare, you know, the scene in Star Wars, A New Hope, when Luke goes in to save Princess Leia and it takes off his Star Trooper and it's like, huh? And they compared that to the Huntsman. Like, I'm here to save you, and it's the Huntsman.
Who knows? Are you? Aren't you a little bit too good looking to be a Huntsman? So, could the Huntsman be Prince Charming's brother? No, just kidding.
He already had one brother.
Yeah.
Look what happened to that. No. Well, so do you think they'll find a way to bring the Huntsman back to Storybrooke?
I don't think so. I really don't. I wouldn't like that. I like the actor, but I think it would be a little bit too. How do you say, improbable? And you know, if he can resurrect, then you know anyone can. And so it just takes away that tension that, you know, heroes can die. And that's always been something of in any modern series nowadays. You will see these, you know, beloved people die. And it's something they did all the time in Lost, where, you know, all of a sudden he was like, I can't believe they killed off that and that person. It was to make us feel the weight of what happened and the true jeopardy that even the most famous characters could be in. You know, there was a lot of speculation that perhaps we will see, you know, so-and-so, one of the main cast members being killed off because they want to make sure that
Regina was going to go on this one. And I was really, well, in a way she did go because she became almost okay. She wasn't completely evil. And then she is again. So, but now she's still here. And I am glad though that we are going to see her in Gold. Just, I have a feeling we're just going to see them go at it this next season. I mean, evil on evil with magic.
Yeah. And of course, Balefire is going to be, I think, a major character in this next season because of the fact that if he is truly Emma's father, it creates this fantastic tension, this impossible situation. Sorry. Henry's father. Yeah, sorry.
So it'd be Henry's Mr. father. Gold's grandson.
Yeah. And then, of course, Mr. Gold is like, I've got my son. I've got Henry. I've got... And then, and how is Emma going to relate to that? And I keep reminding myself of what Gold at one point says to Emma. You know, I'm investing in your future. Could that could have huge repercussions. And perhaps it's only in season two that we will realize the scope of what he said there. Perhaps, you know, investing in Emma's future is ultimately also investing in Henry's future and in the future of Emma's, you know, Emma's, how would you call that, partner from the past? I don't know. Where are we right now? So the dragon comes back, of course, in Story World as well. And we see another fight. This time is it Prince Charming who's fighting the dragon?
Yes. Well, yes.
Well, he's supposed
to talk to Maleficent.
Right.
But he doesn't know what he's supposed to do there.
His bargain with Rumpelstiltskin is that he has to make sure that the potion ends up in the belly of the dragon. Uh-huh. And then he goes and faces Maleficent and she gets...
He says, where's the dragon that guards this castle?
Yeah. And it's her. Is there a precedent in Disney fairy tales where, you know, some evil witch or wizard turns into a dragon?
Well, Maleficent.
Yeah. Oh, that's
she did in Sleeping Beauty. Yeah.
Forgive me, because it's been 30 years since I watched that movie as a child. I've never watched it after.
Well, and they did a great job of dressing her, I think, like the Disney movie.
Yeah.
And even the dragon, keeping it all with the purples and all kind of trinkets.
And the horns, the devil horns, and
I liked that scene with Prince Charming and Maleficent. That was good.
There was also I think it was a Disney movie where it was a live action movie where Susan Sarandon was this evil queen lady.
Oh, that's Enchanted. Yeah.
There you go. That's what that was. Mm-hmm. And she turns into a dragon.
True. Yeah, you're right. We by the way did an episode about that movie in our other podcast series called Secrets of Disney. So if you go to disney.sqpn.com, you can listen to that analysis. And you're right. They took that element there too, the big huge dragon at the end of the movie, which was looking just as great as this dragon. It's amazing that now we get special effects in TV series that are almost as good as what we would see, you know, in a big budget blockbuster movie. Oh, I love this little note in the chat room, you know, with the speculation about Rumpelstiltskin actually being Henry's grandfather. That could be another Darth Vader moment where you're like, Henry, I am your grandfather. No!
It's a little weird laugh.
Oh, dear, dear. But we don't know that. This is all speculation, so. Let's see. What else happens in this episode?
My gosh, there's just so much. I know we're missing. People are going to be posting on the website, you know, comments. You missed this and you missed this.
Well, don't worry about that. I just want to tell our listeners that this is certainly not the last episode of our podcast that we record before the return of Once Upon a Time. I mean, we all feel the pain as well. And so we're going to kind of try to milk this episode as much as we can. I do want to get together soon and do another episode where we just talk about the consequences of what we've seen in this finale, and speculate a little bit more about, you know, what have we seen and what will it mean for what does it mean for the resolution of the big story threads in this first season, and what could it potentially mean for season two. So don't worry, if we miss something, we will have plenty of episodes where we can catch up.
Big thing we haven't talked about is the end with Rumpelstiltskin
well.
Where is my sister? Because this is totally, and I called her as soon as I watched the episode. He pours the love potion in the well. Remember, Shelley wanted us to all know what the well said, and it was something precious that you've lost will return to you.
Yes, will return
and
to
Shelley's
you.
And Shelley's big thing is precious means children. So I, thinking of Shelley, while I'm watching this, and he's pouring the potion in the well, I'm thinking he's going to get a son. That's what he's doing. And I was very mistaken because he didn't get a son. He got power and magic back.
Or could it be that he actually wanted to get his son back? Perhaps it was an unexpected development for him too. After all, Regina said magic is behaving kind of erratically in this world. It's different from fairy tale land. So did he really know that there would be this big purple cloud?
I was surprised. And of course, then there's Belle just like, loo, 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 you know, going along with it. And of course, she remembered that she loved him, which was nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was really surprised. That's what he wanted.
Yeah. I was very disappointed. I'm like, no. So
that's what you use true love for, is to get magic? Come on.
Yeah.
However, for the story, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and this explains the clouds, because I was very puzzled by the little logo scene at the beginning of the show you see the forest and then you've got all these clouds. It's like, what?
My husband
tale
and I
does that
instantly
refer to?
Flashed to Lost, and we were like, oh, it's the Lost smoke monster.
No, no, come on.
Oh, it's 3 Nani is saying that Mulan is supposed to be next season. So I'm kind of excited about the idea of Mulan.
Yeah, and some people noticed that there was Chinese writing on the near the elevator in the library. So, a dragon, Chinese writing.
Yeah. Well, there's a dragon in Mulan, too.
Exactly. So,
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Yeah.
A little tiny dragon.
Yeah. So, what kind of impact? See, now that we've got Belle back, what kind of impact is she going to have on Gold? Because here, Gold is about to go all, you know, dark and evil again in the real world, but he's got Belle. So, you know, she's going to be trying to pull him back the other way, I would assume, just like she did in their storytale flashback.
Yeah, or she will turn completely dark as well. Why not? She, after all, she's been in this prison for a long time. She must hate Regina's guts. Regina is still trying to destroy Rumpelstiltskin, so I think she will side with Rumpelstiltskin, and she will become a next, you know, another evil witch or something. Don't you think? I don't know.
No, I hate to see that. But did you love? I loved how Emma hasn't learned much of anything still, because she's stuck in that elevator. You know,
Yeah.
And Gold is like, oh no, Regina deserted you, you know, flow it to me. And you're like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
That was,
you know,
so
he's not going to be there.
Dumb.
You know?
It felt like any, you know, horror story where there's this girl and she's in a dark corridor and then there is this sound on the other side of the door and you're yelling at your screen, don't go through the door. And what did I do? They open the door. It's like, hi. It was like, come on, Emma.
Like.
Haven't you read any fairy tale? Haven't you watched television for those, what is it, 28 years? Of course you shouldn't trust Mr. Gold. But she does. Which, of course, kind of fits her new role of the believer. And now she's it's turning against her. She's too trusting.
She just fought a dragon and won. So, you know, I'll give it to her.
Well, and wasn't her superpower that she could tell if someone was lying or not?
Yeah, that's not working so well for her.
Well, perhaps
when she's distracted or focused on something else, she's not really very good at that. Yeah.
No.
Or perhaps she lost her superpower, and it's like the thing that happens to Superman whenever he is near the green stuff, the kryptonite.
Mike Kuiper's in the chat room. We picked out two Indiana Jones moments in the last episode. Where the one where she throws down the sword and goes for the gun, and then he said another Indiana Jones moment: throw me the jewels and I'll throw you the whip.
Oh, cool. Yeah. nice
same kind of thing. No, don't do it. It was okay. Let's go back to the when Henry woke up and Regina, and everyone started believing, and you know, Regina's standing there, and you realize that was the moment from the last week with the dream sequence. Remember where they had her all tied to the tree and they're going after her with the sword?
Yeah.
And then they're in the hotel, they're in the hospital room, and everyone kind of wakes up and everyone looks at her. And who was it that someone said, Your Highness or Your Majesty or whatever, you probably should go hide.
Yes.
Or something
Blue
like
Fairy.
That.
Yeah.
Blue Fairy said that.
And you're thinking, oh, there's that moment. She knows she's in trouble and everyone's standing there. And
what if that's all just a big dream? What if the whole last episode is just Emma's dream?
I hope not. That would be the biggest cop out. That would be jumping five sharks instead of one.
The only thing that would make that okay is if Patrick Duffy just showed up too.
Good Lord, no. No, I trust the writers. I think there is no need for this kind of plot development. The interesting question that I had is, now that the Blue Fairy has awakened and all her other fellow sisters, will they still believe in God? Now that they realize that they're from fairy tale land? I mean, will they still return to church every day to do their evening prayer? I was a bit confused.
What, are they going to start dressing a little differently too?
Yeah, right. Like...
Because those are two way different kinds of attire.
Are we going to see? I don't, I was about to say something, but I'm not even going to go there. But in terms of the way they dress as fairies and in like as nuns, there is a little bit of a difference. Will we see some kind of will they merge that? Let's not go there. Anyway.
You need to say three Hail Marys and one rosary.
What did you all think of the...
So are we going to get...
Hold on.
Evil versus evil fighting with magic. But then you also have the fairies, I'm assuming, now with magic again. So...
Yeah, you're breaking up there. Your Skype connection is going down. So I might have to reconnect. Let me do that. Let me just briefly reconnect there. Sometimes with Skype, you know, when the connection goes bad... You don't hear what the other people are saying. But what I was trying to get to is actually, I wanted to hear everyone's opinion about the way in which they finished the story arc of Snow and Prince Charming. So, because that's, of course, been the beef of our discussion all the time. It's like, I cannot believe why David does what he does. And so, how did y'all think that they wrapped that story up?
I Here's what I think. I think that little misty cloud is actually going to erase everybody's memory again. So I think it's all for, you know, you think you got all the loose end tied up and everybody has their knowledge back. I think it's all going to go right back to we don't remember who we are.
You think so? You think that the purple cloud will do
because
basically
you know the, well, because that's remember the clock.
Hold on, one at a time.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I said, well, remember the clock went back to 8:15.
Yeah, it did.
And Regina had that, you know, that smirk on her face that says, "Ha ha ha! I got you in the end, anyway."
Oh, I haven't even seen that being speculated on. I thought maybe they were trapped again, you know, like they were before with the 28 years, you know. But I didn't think about them not remembering.
Oh, that would be. That would be terrible. So it's just like if someone wakes up out of a coma and everybody's cheering, like, he's back. No, he's not.
So it's like the three noni on the chat room is going, no.
I want them to remember because I think it will create a totally different dynamic in the second season. So I would be a little bit miffed if they wouldn't remember and we're just back to square one. I think, nah, we've already been there, done that in season one. But yeah. Lisa, let me ask you, what did you think of the way that they kind of resolved the whole romance thing between Snow and Prince Charming, David, and Mary Margaret? Was it satisfying enough?
No.
No?
I think it opens the door. I think we're going to explore that more next season, I would assume. But I did like the way they addressed it because he was taking off, she was taking off, and they came back. I would have liked a little more like, oh my goodness, you know, that means Emma's our daughter, and oh my gosh, and Henry, and you know, I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more. Yeah. Oh, that's why we couldn't seem to get together. There was an evil curse. I mean, I don't know. I think they glossed over some of the personal moments in this finale for the big dragon moments, I would have liked both.
I wish that there was somewhere kind of a hit, like a director's cut, and it would be 2 hours long.
Yeah.
If they put that on the DVD, they're going to sell a lot of them.
I bet. Or if they added some cut scenes, if they'd had some, you know. I bet you they have. I think that certain moments could have been, we've invested so much emotionally in these characters that I think that we really deserved a little bit more aha from them revealing so much in 1 hour.
You're right. It felt almost like the payoff was too quick. And then it's like, okay, we settled that. Let's move on. Let's do another special effect. And it's like, oh. Please.
It felt more about a build-up to me. It felt more about the build-up for next season than it did really. Like, okay, let's wrap this up so we can show you what we're going to really challenge you on next season. You know, rather than
one of the cool iconic images of this finale was Snow and Prince Charming standing there in the middle of the street, embracing each other, holding hands, and then you've got this huge purple cloud just submerging them. I was like, wow, I love that.
That reminds you of the beginning, because they were upstairs, and you kept seeing the evil curse, you know, coming towards them,
enveloping everything.
You started
right
with that, and now we're ending with purple.
Sweet. Now, another question that I had is the well brings back what you've lost. Mm-hmm. Rumpelstiltskin drops the vial of true love in there, and I was like, well, why doesn't it bring back true love? Or what type of magic is actually emerging? Is this evil magic? Is this a magic comparable to a curse? Is the curse unbroken again? I don't think so. It doesn't make sense. The well, why would he drop true love in there? Is it because it's the only magic that was left? And if so, is the magic that comes out of the well, shouldn't that be true love then? Shouldn't it be benign magic instead of, you know, this cantrus magic?
That's what I thought.
Go ahead.
Oh, so the only thing that can break magic is true love, and true love creates evil magic? I just, I, that, yeah. I didn't.
It doesn't make sense.
That's an interesting
People in the chat room remind us of the fact that the cloud is now has a different color. The original cloud was green. This cloud is purple.
Right. It was green, greenish black, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this, it's a different curse.
Or this it, one, I wonder is it if a it curse? Was just kind is of it a curse? Like, the well was supposed to give back what was lost. So it's going to be, I'm hoping, the writers will do whatever they want, but I'm hoping it'll just, you know, give back what was lost to everyone. So not just, Rumpelstiltskin and Snow White. So it's, I'm hoping that means that, you know, someone else will have magic besides the evil characters. And but now that you brought
they get their love back.
Mm-hmm. But now that you brought up the fact that the clock has moved back to 8:15, I'm really getting frustrated. So
I was just like, oh good, we're gonna go backtrack a few steps and I'm happy now. Thank you.
Well, the one thing we can be sure of is that it will be. They will do something crazy and interesting, and we will probably love it more than this season.
Yes.
That's, you know, I have complete faith in these writers that they will do something completely crazy and we will be like, oh,
they already know what they are going to do in season two. And that's part of this fantastic interview by the two authors. I should have their names in front of me, but I don't. We should pay homage to the incredible skills of the creators of Once Upon a Time. They did such a terrific job with this TV series. But I absolutely, you know, our next episode will be about the consequences of this finale, and I do want to integrate all the hints that they give about where they are going to take the story. And one of the most revealing, which is already giving a tease here, one of the things that they said is, remember the scene with the doors? You might want to go back and take a good look at those doors. And it's like, yes!
Screenshots. Yeah. Ooh. So we'll have to go back and look at the screenshots again and make our predictions.
Absolutely. But that will be for our next episode. To wrap up this first analysis of the finale, I would like to go to our audience and read a few of the reactions and comments on this last episode, because there's been a lot of feedback, as you can imagine, and there might be some details in that feedback that we have missed in our analysis.
Every story needs a memorable detail.
And wow, this finale episode had so many memorable details. Let's read some of the feedback on our website, onceuponatime.sqpn.com. On the first one to react was, let's see, Dan Hyatt, one of the fans of our show. He always sends in lots of comments and feedback and emails. He was like, wow, the same power wave occurring as when Emma first came to our world, right when she kissed Henry. And then he has got a really wacky crackpot theory. Speaking of which, could that be the power wave that brought down Lost Oceanic Flight? We've seen the airplane, after all. Talking about a time paradox. No wonder there were so many candy bars on the island. They got them from Storybrooke. And which came first, the chicken or the egg? Lost or Once Upon a Time? I love that. Because we've seen a similar shockwave in Lost as well. So are these stories related? Probably not. But I love the creativity of this theory. Anna Momoko writes, a great final episode, but everything comes way too fast. Suddenly Emma believes just by touching the book. I like the part when Emma fights the dragon. Makes me think about Alice in Wonderland, actually. I don't know why, but...
I'm like, where is that?
I don't know. They did a fantastic job with the... The flashback of Prince Charming fighting the dragon, the way they ended the season, bring the magic back. Everything is back to where it starts. The clock went back to 8:15. I hope they won't lose their memories this time. And then Anna Momoko also says, did you notice the Chinese characters in the library basement? So could that hint to a second season? Will it have something to do with the dragon? Mulan. Then Angela... I have to apologize to Angela. She's been a huge fan of our podcast, and almost every day she's like, okay, this podcast, the analysis of the... Is it coming already? It's like, come on, get together, record that podcast. So thank you so much for your patience, Angela. Here's what she writes. Everything happened so fast. Dan, my husband, suggested that perhaps the writers were originally expected to have a two-hour finale, ended up having to squeeze everything in 1 hour. I think that's a good theory. A few thoughts on the character dynamics. Jefferson's desperate use of his leverage against Regina releasing Belle was exciting. Perhaps now that Rumpelstiltskin has his beloved, will he have more power, more than usual? Good point. His decision to use true love's magic for his own intentions was unexpected. I think we were all led to believe that he would contribute towards breaking the curse with true love's magic. However, he knew what would break the curse, Emma's kiss. For her son, somehow, and decides to use it for his own purposes. Does he make this decision because he believes that magic in this world can bring back his son? I definitely think that is part of it. Since the curse is broken, Jefferson and his daughter will now recognize each other. Good point. Previously, he had asked Regina to rewrite the story and allow he and his daughter to live in peace. However, in his rage against Regina for all she has done and her continuous refusal to give him his daughter back, will Jefferson now use his magical talents against the queen? Ooh, could this be a new nemesis in the story?
I didn't think about the hat working now.
As we know from the pilot, the final battle has now begun. Perhaps the fairy tale characters will begin taking sides for or against evil. And where would... Ooh! X-Men versus Avengers! Could that be like a symbolic reference to what the second season will be about? There will be two armies, an evil army and a good army. Oh, I'm starting to like this. Anyway, Angela writes, where will Mr. Gold place himself in this final battle? Will he simply place himself anywhere it takes to achieve his ends as has been the precedent? Will he become terribly power-hungry so that even Belle is forced to leave his side? Season 2 will reveal the answers. Until then, the speculation continues. Thanks for a great podcast, everyone. Cheers. So, I love this idea of two armies and people having to take sides and choosing, because, of course, every good story is about choices that people make. It will be, again, like Lost, you know, the others against the good guys, and then the good guys turn out to be not so good and the others not so bad as we all thought. Ooh. Rick writes, wow, the episode just tumbled to its conclusion, just one revelation after another. As others have suggested, it seems like two episodes squeezed into 1 hour. The reveal of Emma believing happened very early on in the episode. Slaying the dragon, reviving Henry, breaking the curse, Gold's final betrayal. Phew! No telling where things will go next year. Gold versus Regina versus the people of Storybrooke. Will Emma be limited to Storybrooke? Will she be able to go to other realms to fight evil? Think of the doors. I definitely think we will get realms. Dan, again, speculates or wonders, how far do these magical clouds go? Are they just limited to Storybrooke or further? You know? Could this completely change the entire world? The possibilities are endless. Kathy has a lot of questions left. Was the potion true love or a dark curse? So same question, if this was true love, why were these clouds bad, or were they really? Henry seems to believe that the clouds are bad, and so we are usually tend to believe Henry. He's always right. So if he says that the purple clouds are bad, then they probably are. Let's see. If there's more speculation about the clouds, this is a little bit too complicated. My brain is fried. Another question. If there is now magic in Storybrooke, it means that Regina, Rumple, the fairies, they will all have their power back. Will Emma have power? Will she have, like, extra magical powers now that magic is restored? After all, she's the daughter of Snow and Prince Charming. Will Ruby be able to turn into a wolf again? Ooh. And will that wolf have something to do with vampires? And will we see glittering skin? No.
No, that's jumping the shark right there. No.
Oh, please. No. I beg you. So many questions. Let's see. Kat says, what I noticed in particular was that Regina said magic here is unpredictable. I wonder if that could lead the character of Graham coming back. Crushing your heart through magic may lead to death in the fairy tale world, but will it also in the real world? Is August still probably a puppet? Will Emma have to do something else to break the curse to save him? Or else something else than breaking the curse to save August? That could be interesting, by the way, because there is a bit of a spark between Emma and Pinocchio. You know, they both went for this ride on their motorbike, and there is some romantic tension there. So it could be interesting if actually he stays a wooden boy, and Emma now, you know, one of her quests in the next season will be to somehow revive Pinocchio. And then, of course, there's still Pinocchio's father, who's also in Storybrooke. He will now remember. What will it do to him if he sees his son in that bed, you know, being the big wooden mummy? By the way, I thought it was a very creepy special effect.
Definitely.
Oh, man. So many possibilities, but I think we need to wrap this up. Otherwise, we'll already record our next episode. But, Sleeping Beauty and Pinocchio in a romantic affair. You, says Mike. Hey, we'd love to hear your thoughts. I've got much more feedback on our Facebook page as well. So next episode, we will get together and talk about the consequences, and we'll speculate about what we've heard from the writers in that famous interview. And well, this is the moment to let us know what you think. You can leave us your voice feedback by going to sqpn.com, click on the tab on the right-hand side, leave us some voice feedback. You can also send us an MP3 by sending an email to onceuponatime@sqpn.com. So onceuponatime@sqpn.com. You can also reach us via Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, we are onceuponatimepc. And on Facebook, just look for Secrets of Once Upon a Time. And we need you to spread the word, because there are a couple of podcasts out there and way too many Once Upon a Time fan websites. So we need to promote this podcast a little bit more. And of course, we always are open to any suggestions from you, the audience, on how to do that and how to, you know, enhance and amplify this community around the show and around Once Upon a Time. The series. We've got many other plans for the interim period. Don't worry, we won't leave you alone. We will try to cater as much as possible to, you know, that empty hole in your heart. Oh, there is a hole in your heart. No new TV episodes, but there will be a lot of podcast episodes that will hopefully, well, perhaps not completely fill the hole in your heart, but it might just kind of, I don't know, appease you for the time being. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I want to thank the members of our panel today, David, Lisa, Deborah, and hopefully we'll all be back soon for another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Bye-bye now, dearies. Take care.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.